using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Friday, the 11th of June, year of our Lord 2021, day 454 of America Held Hostage. Today we're going to take a look at the teen vaccine crisis and response. They're coming after the teens. And as I've said for quite some time, it's very clear that they're injecting teens, are having very severe side effects with heart attacks. They're now admitting this, but you will not believe their actual response and how they continue to pressure teens. We'll also take a look at the mask confusion for the Fauci cult and the FDA exposed as a complete fraud. Stay with us. Well, it's being reported that the CDC is going to have an emergency meeting after hundreds of teens have reported heart inflammation. Oh, remember, it was just seven, they said. They're also still saying nobody died. And there was a report, and I'm going to go back this weekend and find it. I remember when this very beginning of the vaccination for teens, as it was approved and rolling out to people, I remember there was a 17-year-old boy. They may have purged that from the VAERS database. I'm going to go back and do some research, see if I can follow up on that. But this is an emergency, and it should be an emergency. And if this was a legitimate trial instead of this nonsense, this Trump warp speed nonsense, in a legitimate trial, they would have halted it to have this many people die. That's not acceptable. That is not acceptable. It doesn't matter if your risk is 1 in 100,000 or 1 in 500,000. That is not acceptable, especially for teens who have zero risk from the disease. They would have stopped this during the safety, but they're not doing that now. And even though they're saying this is going to be an emergency meeting, they're not going to hold the meeting for another week. Does that sound like they think it's an emergency? Let me tell you what this is. This is not going to be anything where they're going to take this seriously. They're going to be working on the next week for how they're going to spin this, how they're going to handle. This is a PR crisis for them, a public relations crisis. This is what kind of lies are we going to tell people? Because they're not going to stop this. They're continuing to move on to toddlers from teens. So last month, the CDC urged providers to ask about prior COVID-19 vaccination in patients who had symptoms of heart inflammation. And yet at the same time, they were telling everybody, there's no connection. Oh, but you know, if you see somebody, especially a teen, who is starting to have heart complications, and one of the reasons we're seeing this now with teens is because when we saw it with older people, they just dismissed it. Well, that would have happened anyway. Are they're older. That's a comorbidity. We never had any comorbidities dismissed when it was COVID. It was always COVID that caused it. But now if it's a vaccine, they can say with older people, oh, it's the heart. They can't say that with these healthy young teenagers. Well, you know, they already had this disease. No. They're perfectly healthy. It's your vaccine that did this. You can't say, like you can with older people, you can't shove it off to existing comorbidities, even though they wouldn't do that with a vaccine. And the amazing thing, as I reported last week, was the fact that they would come up and say, well, there's absolutely no case. However, if somebody presents that way, you may want to ask if they've just been vaccinated. They know. And by putting out those two things, it shows that they are just calculating liars. Calculating liars. Hey, the CDC has calculated deception and control, right? Does anyone else? I saw this and I wrote all these notes on here. It's like, what? A week from now? And then I get to the bottom of this article, and the writer says, does anyone else find it odd that after discovering 800 cases in the VAERS database, that they schedule an emergency meeting, quote-unquote emergency, in 7 days. In the meantime, every public health authority figure is encouraging parents to get their young children vaccinated. And it's not just that. I'm going to show you all the different pressure campaigns that are being applied to teens and to young people who had no risk whatsoever to this virus. The bulk of the reports described heart inflammation appearing after the second of 2 doses of either Pfizer or Moderna. Authorities stressed that anybody can submit reports, though the reporting system, the authorities have already verified 226 of the reports. And again, over 700 filed. And we also see this coming from Israel, where they are ahead of most people in terms of the Pfizer vaccine. They said, an Israeli study said there is a probable link. Of course there is. The U.S. will not say that. They'll just say, well, there is no link. But ask people if they've been vaccinated, if you see this heart disease for the young people. Israel said there's a probable link between the second dose of the Pfizer jab and the appearance of myocarditis among men aged 16 to 30. And again, I think they're just dismissing the connection for older people as pre-existing condition. A case report examining myocarditis in 7 adolescents. This is where they came up with the number 7. And remember, they've already done this with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, when you had 4 different sites in 4 different states, and you had 4 dozen people have immediate severe reactions to it, some of them taken out by ambulance to the hospital. They quickly came out and said, well, this is something that only really affects 6 women out of 6 million. And then they just dismissed it. So they focus on the 7. The number, the 7 adolescents, this comes from a study that was published in Pediatrics, a journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics, this month. All 7 developed the inflammation of the heart within 4 days of receiving the second dose. They did not have any evidence of a COVID-19 infection, and they did not meet the criteria for MIS-C, a rare disease that could be associated with that. So they ruled out any other causes. They're very young. And the only commonality there is that they've had the second dose. Now, if it was just 7 people who had that, 7 teens, again, they have zero risk from this, statistically zero risk from this, that should be stopped just based on that. But we're at several hundred. It's more than 100 times larger than that. They said a risk-benefit assessment will be provided by the CDC's advisory panel on vaccines during a meeting next week. So what you're going to get are explanations. You're going to get prevarications. You're not going to get any concern about safety. They said possibilities include only vaccinating children without prior infection, as there is an association between prior COVID and this adverse effect, which we've been saying for quite some time. And that may be, in my opinion, why they're doing this in 2 doses. Isn't it odd that when they start to admit that that people who have had the virus in the past or who get it a second time, that are exposed to it a second time, that you have these severe reactions? Is that why they started doing this in 2 doses? And that is a very cynical view of these people's motives, because ask yourself, is it an accident that they're injecting people with the very aspect of this coronavirus that causes all the lung, vascular, and even brain diseases, that passes the blood-brain barrier, causes blood clots? Is that any coincidence? Is that just a coincidence that we decided that we would inject you with a part that's dangerous and that we would do it twice? Because this typically kicks in when people are exposed multiple times. So they said of these cases, 3 are in ICU. These are teenagers who had no risk. 3 of them are in ICU with heart issues. 15 are hospitalized with heart issues. 41 have ongoing symptoms with heart issues. 167 have recovered. Have they? Will they have heart issues the rest of their life? And of course, again, the missing case of the 17-year-old who died. This was sent to me. It came from It was a report that was done by, it was done by Take Action for Freedom, Robin Openshaw. She said she was contacted by the family in Draper, Utah. And I've talked about this family, but of course, she said they contacted her and said they're not telling the true story of what happened to our son. Their son was the basketball player in Utah. Very healthy, a basketball star. As a matter of fact, he's 6.9, 6 feet 9 inches, nearly 7 feet tall. He is a star basketball center. He scored 18 points the night before he was jabbed. And by the way, this guy is almost 6'9", and he's 16 years old. Anyway, he scored 18 points the night before he was jabbed. And he took the vaccine because he was being pressured to do so. Because as a basketball player, he was constantly traveling for his sport. Now, this is what happened. It says, on Saturday, his mother, Cherry Romney, texted me to ask me to break the story that her husband, Preston, had been hospitalized that morning. She doesn't trust the media, as all the outlets who reported on her son, Everest, manipulated and abused the story. This is a tragic situation for the family. Both the father and the son are having horrific symptoms from the Pfizer vaccine. Preston has been unwell the entire time. That's her husband. But he ignored it because his son was in a crisis. Now he's had a pulmonary infarction and countless blood clots that have permanently damaged his lungs. This is the father. Permanent lung damage from blood clots. This is on the heels of their son, 16-year-old Preston, being in the ICU with blood clots in his brain. He, too, just got the first Pfizer injection and is at home. Stable but unimproved, heavily drugged to dissolve the clots, blood thinners for life now, and painkillers. Let me tell you, my father was on blood thinners for life, and that is a horrific, it's got a lot of long-term issues that created cascading problems for him physically, but it's also the issue that when you're on blood thinners, you just get bumped, and he would get big bruises on his arms, and if he bumped into something, he would bleed, and he had the reason he was on blood thinners was because he'd had a blood clot that had traveled to his eye. Could have killed him if it had traveled to an organ, but traveled to his eye, and it made him blind for life in that eye. So he had impaired vision, couldn't see on one side, didn't have depth perception. He was constantly bumping into things, cutting his head, and other things. So it's a really horrific situation to be on blood thinners for life. Robin Openshaw, Take Action for Freedom, says, I personally have had dozens of people send me stories of blood clot-related deaths and injuries, as well as interviews with doctors and scientists trying to sound the alarm that injecting the spike protein causes blood clots. And the symptoms are literally everything under the sun. When you start creating a blood disease, when you start creating immune system diseases with these vaccines, they can manifest itself in a wide variety of ways. And when exactly does this stop? I asked that question from the very beginning. What is the off mechanism? Is it when your immune system finally shuts this thing down? And it may be in some cases the immune system can't handle it, so it doesn't shut down. Pfizer knows their product causes blood clots, but their response is to pressure the FDA for permanent approval to take it off the emergency schedule, rather than to recall it and to incinerate the product, which any drug company would do if this happened in their trials. Exactly right. Look at the way that they're pressuring the teenagers, though. This is just absolutely criminal. But why would we let them do this? Why would we let them do the transgender gaslighting and pedophile grooming that they're doing to little kids in junior high school? I mean, we clearly have turned over our kids to institutions that want to kill them, body, mind, and soul. Marxism, hate yourself because of the color of your skin, all of this stuff. Why are we funding these institutions? Listen to what they're doing in one high school in New Hampshire. Unvaccinated students numbered with Sharpies and tracked at the high school prom. This is coming from Breitbart. They say unvaccinated students who attended the Exeter High School prom Monday in, and I'm not sure where this is in New Hampshire, had a number written on them in Sharpie, and they were tracked throughout the evening. It's like, what, they don't have any yellow stars yet? And that's a valid analogy. You know, they freaked out when Marjorie Taylor Greene said that, and others have said it. Now, that's a valid analogy. And if you want to respect Jewish people who went through this, then you point out how the tactics are the same. Tactics are the same. If they were on the dance floor, they had to raise their hands after every three songs so their numbers could be recorded by the underclass students for contact tracing purposes. Why after every three songs? I don't get it. None of this makes any sense, of course, because this is the Fauci cult. There's even more of the story, but this alone is surprising to us. We truly feel they are literally branding our kids if they don't get this experimental emergency approved vaccine. They also left the list of students' names, first and last, with information on whether or not they were vaccinated or not on a table outside of the prom. I found this the next morning. This information should, number one, not have been asked. Number two, should never have been left where anyone has access to it. And I have a photo of the list, writes the person who posted this on social media. First, the school should be looking, could be looking at lawsuits for violation of HIPAA rights. They have no business asking for a vaccine card. Last Thursday, masks were no longer required outside. And if this is in effect, it should not have mattered whether they were vaccinated or not. I said it was not communicated to us beforehand. The kids were told that it was optional to provide a copy of their vaccine card, but those who did not have a vaccine card were numbered. One individual says, what if students are branded with a number if they have a sexually transmitted disease? Should they be required to share that information too? What about AIDS? Where's the ACLU on all of this stuff? And again, you are being treated worse than somebody who has a disease. Your disease is that you don't obey the authorities to inject something into your body to prevent you from getting a disease, they say. I mean, consider that. This is not about saying you're sick, we're going to quarantine you. Over this last year, the medical dictators would say, well, we have the authority to quarantine anybody that we wish to protect the herd, right? Except that you don't have the authority to quarantine people who aren't sick. Your tests don't show that people are sick. Your tests are magnifying viral debris by a factor of 1 trillion, 2 to the 40th power. That's what a cycle threshold of 40 is. So you're putting people in quarantine that are not sick. That's why Rabbi David Smith said, watch for the tests. That's the way they're going to come after us. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to have any symptoms. They can just pull up their tricorder scanner straight out of Star Trek or whatever. It's a beep, beep. Yeah, you're sick. Go to retention. Now, we don't know if it's about that or if it's about your political or religious views or anything else. But yeah, I say that you're about to get sick. So go away. Indefinite detention by the military without due process. And so we're talking about people who, quarantining people who are not sick. We've accepted that. And now we're going to quarantine people who are not sick and who haven't had what they say is a preventative. While they keep real preventatives away from us, while they keep real treatments away from us. And at West Point, they're going to quarantine returning cadets who refuse the COVID shot. They'll be forced to spend 7 days in quarantine that amounts to solitary confinement. This is West Point. The cadets will be locked up for 23 hours a day in one room, allowed outside only 1 hour to walk or run. Well, that's better than what they did to the Canadian pastor, James Coates. They let him out only 15 minutes a day. Oh, they're treating these guys like royalty. A full hour outside to breathe air and exercise. They don't want them to get too out of shape. A number of cadets are rebelling against the effort of the Biden administration, the military brass, to force them to take one of these controversial vaccines. Some 700 cadets who initially refused the vaccine were brought to a meeting room and briefed on its benefits. Since then, amid allegations of daily pressure by senior academy officials, some cadets have relented and been vaccinated. And let me tell you, this whole idea of saying, well, you're going to be for 7 days, you're going to be in solitary confinement. It's just another one of the pressure things that they're going to do to them. The new quarantine requirement is even more restrictive than the one for cadets that returned after the summer and after Christmas breaks who tested positive. Again, we're not even talking about somebody testing positive on a rigged test, an invalid test, a trumped-up test, if you will. We're talking about people who haven't had a preventative that is being demanded. And they're going to be treated worse than people who, they were saying, had the disease as recently as a Christmas break. Those cadets were allowed to leave their accommodation to get food as long as they stayed away from other cadets who were not infected. That's not what they're going to do. These people are going to be kept in solitary confinement. See, they keep escalating this. Even as this pandemic disappears completely, and I never saw it. And that's one of the reasons, you know, I had a lot of people say, well, you should say that the virus doesn't exist. Look, you can prove that the pandemic doesn't exist, right? I don't have to prove that each and every person who got the respiratory disease did not have a new virus that was engineered out of Wuhan or UNC Chapel Hill. That's an impossible task, and people are not going to believe that. But I can prove that it's not a pandemic. You know that as well as I do. Anybody knows that, just from their personal experience. Where have you seen the pandemic? Well, on TV. I mean, in real life. Have you seen a pandemic in real life? No. We would know this. I pointed this out months ago. I said, yeah, you know, they canceled homeschool co-op because there's a virus going around. There's a stomach bug going around. That was a month or two ago. Everybody knows. Yeah, so Johnny came down with this. Yeah, he was vomiting all night, that type of thing. This happens all the time. We all know this, right? And we all know when there's a little epidemic that's happening. And this is not an epidemic. And this is not an epidemic everywhere, which is what a pandemic is. There is no pandemic. Don't argue about the virus. There's no pandemic. End of story. If there's no pandemic, it doesn't matter whether the virus is engineered or whether it's real or any of the other stuff. There is no pandemic. None of this stuff is justified. And we can say at this point that all the measures that they have done are self-admitted failures. Why? Because they keep locking us down. They keep adding more and more things as we go along. They keep escalating this, even though there is no sign of a pandemic. High school students arrested now for protesting the COVID vaccination. This is in Canada, Saskatchewan, reported by LifeSite News. A teenage boy was arrested twice as a consequence of his public stance against the coercive promotion of COVID-19 vaccines to children. He's a senior. He said that a school official took him out of his classroom on the morning of May 20th, led him to an office where he was arrested and handcuffed by two officers from the Saskatoon Police Service. He was discreetly spirited away through a back door, taken to a police station, fingerprinted, photographed, kept in a cell for more than 6 hours, and charged with one count of causing a disturbance by shouting, and three counts of mischief over $5,000. I was absolutely stunned. I couldn't believe it. They say his career as a freedom activist began last summer when he began looking into claims about the coronavirus. He said it just seemed really sketchy to me what they were saying. But then he began going to anti-lockdown rallies and they started speaking out publicly against masks, against lockdown restrictions, and against the experimental vaccines only 2 months ago. In late April, he went to a freedom rally, his first. A few days later, he met another teenage freedom activist, also 18, at a freedom rally specifically for children. They were two of the four kid speakers. He continued to go to freedom rallies in different towns, and then on May 11th, these two and a third boy took part in two protest actions that got them into trouble with police, spurred on by students at a college. The boys took an experimental trip in to see how the teachers would react to them not wearing a mask. Both of them told LifeSite News that they were there for less than 4 minutes. One of them said it was 3 minutes, 15 seconds. Said, we were going to talk to some kids inside as well, but we never did because there were little to no kids inside. So we were there for about 3 minutes and 15 seconds. The principal, I believe, came running after my car, taking pictures of my license plate. The boys next went across town to Pope John Paul II Elementary School, where they stood across the street with signs encouraging drivers to honk for freedom. And children, because in Saskatchewan, they have the mature minor provision, where kids in elementary school can choose to get the jab without parental consent. So they were out there at the elementary school trying to tell the kids, say no, take the mask off. That's when the police got upset, because they want to harvest those kids in elementary school. So Officer Amy introduced herself, came over and spoke to us, introduced a verbal warning telling us don't do it again, otherwise we could be charged and ticketed. So we went back and forth with the police, asking questions, having a conversation with them. Then the police left, and one officer sat a few hundred feet down in a patrol down the street in a patrol car and watched us. We were never asked to leave because we weren't breaking any laws. And then Officer Amy came to the school with the mob that arrested him. And they were arrested a second time because one of the conditions was that he not communicate with his friend. He said they were speaking at the same rallies, but they stood back to back without speaking to each other. That led to a second arrest. And that one was not so private. That one they made a point of dragging him out in front of everybody and throwing him against the car. He said they treated me like an animal. It was disgusting. Both boys believe that 12-year-olds are being inoculated at school without their parents' consent. He said, I believe a 12-year-old is not capable of making the decision to get a vaccine. You have to be 16 to drive a car, 18 to get a tattoo, 18 to vote, 19 to drink in Saskatchewan. But a 12-year-old can decide to get an experimental jab. They're not capable of making a decision of this nature. And they're not capable of making decisions about their gender either. And preschool. And this is why, and I'll see people say, well, you know, I support people doing whatever they want as adults. I don't support the government getting involved in any of that. And that is their decision to make without any government interference. And I agree with that aspect of it. But let me tell you, when you start coming after kids, it's off. We know what you are now. You're a pedophile. You're a pedophile. And you're trying to kill children with this experimental jab as well. When are we going to stop these institutions? It makes me furious that I have to pay a massive amount of property tax to support these institutions. You should be angry about this as well. You should demand that it stop. And I don't mean the teaching. I mean the institutions. We don't need government-run schools. We should not have government-run schools. Not at all. They're not capable of doing this. They will always violate religious freedom. It's just a question of whose religion is being taught. Albany, New York will erase parking tickets now for a coronavirus vaccine. Well, isn't that nice? What if they do it for speeding? Now, that might be something that would entice me, right? If I get a warp speed ticket going as fast as I want, can I wipe that off if I take a Trump warp speed vaccine that was approved as without any restrictions whatsoever, speed limits or measurements whatsoever? So warp speed ticket, warp speed injection. Can we balance these two things out? They said they don't care when you get the vaccine. You get one free parking ticket with a vaccine. Isn't that generous? We'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
All right, I was just talking about Albany giving people a free one-off on their parking tickets. And it was in New York a few years ago that there was a situation as measles was the focus of the vaccine mob at the time. They had four people involved in schools there that had what they called a terrifying measles outbreak. Nobody died. Nobody was even hospitalized. I've had measles. Everybody my age had measles. The instance of somebody having a serious reaction to it, and you can have a serious reaction to anything. You know, you can die in your bathtub. That's a serious reaction, right, to your bathtub. So we're going to ban all bathtubs. We don't have to get rid of measles. Measles is not a big issue. Looking at risk, it is a very, 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 very rare situation. Anybody has a serious reaction to measles. But at the time, they freaked out about it. And they found that everybody, including patient zero in the measles outbreak, had been vaccinated. And not once, but multiple times. Two times. Now they say, well, I guess we'll have to do everybody three times. Admitting that their vaccines are not effective. If your vaccine does not train the immune system, it doesn't matter how many times you do it. You're not going to have herd immunity. To have herd immunity, you have to have lasting immunity that the vaccines are not conveying. Good example here. We have the celebrity cruise ship, the Millennium. The Millennium Falcon. Two passengers on the first fully vaccinated cruise in North America test positive. Just like the measles shot in New York years ago. Two persons who shared a room on the Celebrity Millennium tested positive at the end of the cruise testing, completed 3 days before returning to the U.S. Now, they, of course, are not sick, but hey, they've got the disease, right? We don't know what the PCR cycle threshold is, how much they're magnifying this, but two people, both of them, everybody on the ship vaccinated, everybody on the ship vaccinated. How did they catch COVID-19? Interesting, isn't it? But I want to talk about what's going on with the FDA. The FDA has now this week thoroughly, I should have covered this story a couple of days ago. It actually broke on Wednesday. And I didn't cover it yesterday. But the FDA, this is a very important story. The FDA has completely destroyed their credibility. Here's what's happened. You saw all the touting of the new Alzheimer's treatment, right? Mainstream media loves it. Drudge loves it. Look at this. We got a new approved cure for Alzheimer's, except it's not. Big Pharma has been trying to create a blockbuster drug for the lucrative Alzheimer's disease market for more than a decade. And again, this is because of an aging population. They want to make some money. Well, they don't have an effective drug, but now with FDA approval, they can make some money. They repeatedly failed, writes Vaccine Impact, because they start with the wrong presumptions based on genetics rather than it being environmental causes. Well, either way, the point of this story, besides the fact that they've been treating, take a side off of this. They say that it's genetics, but perhaps Pfizer's drug, Lipitor, is maybe something that is driving this higher. And what they say is that it is the most profitable drug of all time, Pfizer's Lipitor. It is a statin drug that lowers cholesterol. And prior to its patent expiring at the end of 2011, no other drug in human history had racked up more sales than Pfizer's Lipitor. Problem is, if you block cholesterol, 25% of our body's cholesterol resides in our brain. So do we need to block the cholesterol? Well, if we do, that may be the cause of Alzheimer's, these low-fat diets and statins. And so a lot of people have had tremendously good results with coconut oil. So I just mentioned this as an aside, if that is something that is in your family. I remember the story of a woman who saw that about coconut oil, and her husband had basically lost it, and as she started giving him coconut oil, after a couple of months, he was able to start doing things that he hadn't been able to do, very dramatic things for quite some time. He'd not been able to do them. Nevertheless, going back to the scandal at the FDA, the FDA reports Stat News. Remember, Stat News is a trade industry publication. Said the FDA did this in spite of the fact that its own 11-doctor expert panel had 10 of the doctors say there wasn't enough evidence to show that it worked, that it slowed cognitive decline. And the 11th doctor voted uncertain. So they had zero doctors that said that this was effective. None on the 11-panel group. And yet the FDA approved it anyway. Why did they do that? Why have they approved these vaccines? Because of political pressure from Trump and from the pharmaceutical industry. Remember, it was Trump demanding that you either approve this right now for emergency use or you're fired. Remember that? Now one of those doctors was on the panel, neurologist Joel Perlmutter of Washington University in St. Louis, has resigned. Perlmutter told Stat in an email that he'd quit the committee on Monday due to his ruling, the ruling by the FDA without further discussion with our advisory committee. The 10 of the 11 panelists, again, I'll remind you, said there was not enough evidence to show that this worked at all. The 11th one voted uncertain. But the FDA still approved the drug on Monday. Media still applauded it. Oh, look, we got a cure now for Alzheimer's. This isn't the first time, he said, when I was on a committee. This is biostatistician Scott Emerson, a professor emeritus at the University of Washington. He said, this isn't the first time when I was on a committee where the committee voted one way and the FDA decided another. However, this is the first time that nobody on the committee voted for approval of the drug, and the FDA went against all of them. And he emphasized that. He said it twice. Nobody voted for the approval of the drug. Nobody. And the FDA, for political purposes, did that. So they had, first that guy, Perlmutter, resigned on Monday. And now they're up to three of the 11 who were on that advisory committee have resigned in disgust over this political organization, the FDA, for which there's no constitutional authority to tell us what we can have, what is safe. Everybody looks at this. It's either FDA approved or it isn't. And life doesn't work that way. Life is not binary. You need to understand what the risk is. And what they do is they hide that risk by just having the yes or no answer, thumbs up or thumbs down. I've known people, I knew a guy back in Raleigh whose wife took a drug that was FDA approved, and the history of this drug was they approved it, then they removed it because there were some responsible people in the FDA, and then after political pressure from the pharmaceutical companies, they approved it again. After that second approval, his wife took it and died. Then they banned it again. On and off, on and off, on and off. See, it's like a light switch. Yes, no, yes, no. They don't tell people, well, you know, you got a very high risk. We've done a lot of studies. Studies? What's that? Do they do those anymore? We've done studies, and here's what we found from our studies. A percent of efficacy or a percent of safety. But, of course, all the studies that are done are typically done by the pharmaceutical companies themselves. And what they will do is they will run a test comparing their product to brand X, or more typically brands A, B, C, and D. Their brand A. Their brand A always comes out on top, and then the other companies, B, C, and D, they'll run their study, and their drugs will always come out on top with their study. See how that works? So as the FDA is saying, well, we have an advisory committee of scientists whose specialty is focused around this drug, this condition. But we're not going to listen to them. Even though none of them agree with this, we're going to still approve this. Look at what is happening with marijuana, medical marijuana. Reason Magazine reports that the Ninth Circuit Court is considering whether or not the DEA's classification of marijuana violates federalism and separation of power. There is nothing to consider. This is a cut and dried case, and I've talked about this many times, but listen to how this is couched in this particular. What they're talking about here is not the war on drugs in general, but they're talking about marijuana specifically and the fact that marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug, which says that it has no medical use. And yet, as the organization that is fighting this points out, you got two-thirds of the states, and I've pointed that out many times, two-thirds of the states have passed laws saying that they're going to allow medical marijuana, while the federal government is saying there is no medical use of that. Even in Texas, where there is no medical marijuana law, they've made one exception, and that is for kids who have uncontrollable nerve tremors, epileptic onset. Many people believe that is brought on by vaccines, but regardless of what caused it, the only thing that stops it, there's no pharmaceutical drugs that are effective at stopping it, but marijuana does. And so to keep parents from being locked up, you had David Simpson out of Longview, Texas, a state representative, great guy, great integrity. This guy is a rock nose, a rock ribbed, not nose, a rock ribbed is the expression, conservative and Christian. And he said, we're not going to lock up parents for getting the only medication that can help their kids. And so they carved out an exception just for that. Still not recognizing marijuana as being medical, but only for that one condition. But getting back to the story from Reason, the DEA still maintains that the plant belongs in Schedule 1 of Controlled Substances Act, which says that there is no accepted medical use. And that, of course, is a lie. So they have filed a lawsuit. The Scottsdale Research Institute, one of the organizations that's received preliminary DEA approval to grow marijuana, has filed a lawsuit that's now gone to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to reject the DEA's rationale for keeping marijuana as a Schedule I drug. They also argue that the CSA, which is the law, quote-unquote law, that they passed in violation of the Constitution, that's the Controlled Substances Act, that the CSA is in obeisance to, listen, international anti-drug treaties. Remember how many times I've talked about the fact that this whole war on drugs came from the UN? They put together the entire, the four schedules and all of the drugs put into the schedules. They put marijuana in as a Schedule I drug. That was in 1961. In 1971, that was when in obeisance, let's put it this way, in obeisance to an international treaty, Richard Nixon declared his war on drugs and just took that schedule in from the Controlled Substances Act. She said, this is an unconstitutional delegation of legislative authority, the Controlled Substances Act. It violates core separation and power principles. And again, it violates everything that we understood for prohibition because we had to have the 18th Amendment to prohibit alcohol, the 21st Amendment to make it legal again. The Controlled Substances Act gives the Attorney General the authority to reschedule drugs in consultation with the Department of Health and Human Services. A power the Attorney General has delegated to the DEA, a Justice Department agency. Well, let me tell you, the HHS, the DEA, the Department of Justice, there's no authority for any of them to do any of this. The Controlled Substances Act is, there is no such authority to be found for the Controlled Substances Act in the Constitution. And so in the opening brief, lawyer said, can the DEA deny that marijuana has currently accepted the medical use and treatment in the United States when more than two-thirds of the states have enacted legislation green-lighting marijuana's use as medicine? The DEA says marijuana lacks accepted safety because, wait for it, the FDA has not approved it. See? They point back and forth to each other. It's like the CDC and the TSA. TSA said, well, you know, CDC said that people don't have to, that people have to wear masks. But the CDC said, well, you don't have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated, but we put in a clause here that says that if any regulatory agency wants you to wear a mask, they can make you wear a mask. You see how that works? They have a complete hierarchy of all these alphabet agencies, and any one of them can decide that they want to take away your freedom under any circumstances, and so they all get to do that. They're not under authority, according to them. You are under their authority. No. It's the other way around. They're under the authority of the Constitution. They're rebels. They're pirates. They're thieves. They're criminals. They're oath breakers. The DEA says that marijuana lacks accepted safety because the FDA has not approved it as a medicine, and it has no accepted medical use, which conflates two different criteria, says Sicily. That improperly imports a clinical efficacy requirement. The treaty-dependent provision of the Controlled Substances Act, quote, unconstitutionally delegates legislative power twice. First, to a non-governmental entity. Now, which one would that be? It's not the CDC. It's not the FDA. It's the WHO. See, this is an international rigged game, this whole war on drugs. Isn't it interesting? The thing that has been tearing our country apart, thing that's destroyed our legal system, corrupted our cops, created massive drug cartels. Where's it coming from? These people at the World Health Organization. We didn't stop it. And now look at what we're facing from the World Health Organization in this pandemic. It's always been a pandemic of lawlessness, a pandemic of globalism. And we never get to the root causes, do we? Even when they're talking about the Wuhan situation, what are they talking about? Well, we're going to have, we got to talk about China. It's just China. It's nothing but China. China and Fauci. No. They never get to the root causes of this. The Attorney General has no discretion to override the floor dictated by an unelected international body, they said. What is the matter with this? You've got a situation where you've got an international body and the Attorney General can't override that? Yeah, it's the WHO. Don't get fooled again. The WHO has fooled us too many times. So they've delegated the authority twice. First to a non-governmental entity, the WHO. Second to the Attorney General. The WHO does what it wants. Because we're living in Whoville. The Attorney General does not participate in it, has no discretion to undercut the WHO's decision. He cannot, for example, place fewer restrictions than international obligations demand. This is what the DEA means when it says that it can't move marijuana below Schedule 2. It said, well, we could take it out of Schedule 1, but we couldn't take it below Schedule 2. It shouldn't even be scheduled. It's a natural substance. The WHO dictated treaty obligations create an impenetrable floor, dictated by an unelected international body. So what do we do about this? I mean, we get this. Obviously, this thing is a rat's nest of illegal activity and deception. What do we do about it? And this is why the war on drugs is also important, because the problem has been solved in two-thirds of the states. How? By nullification. Nullification! We didn't have to fight a civil war. We didn't have to secede. We just seceded from this unconstitutional mandate from the UN, from the WHO, that was being enforced and put on us with the federal government who had assumed this authority. We can secede from any of these laws just by nullifying them. And that's what we had done in two-thirds of the states. Some of them, it was done by referendum by the people. And others, it was done by the state. And you know what? Even Jeff Sessions, Mr. Reefer Madness himself, did nothing to try to overturn two-thirds of the states. If you want your freedom badly enough, if you want it, it's there. That's the moral of the story of 50 years of unconstitutional drug prohibition. If you want your freedom badly enough, you can take it back from the federal government. You can pass laws at the state level. You can pass laws at the local level. You can elect officials at the local level, the sheriff, to protect you from these overreaches of the state government or any other body, even the judiciary. If the sheriff isn't going to enforce some of these orders, you're protected even from a corrupt judge. They said even if the DEA does ultimately move marijuana to Schedule 2, that will not resolve the untenable conflict between state and federal law, which regarding medical use would support, as Biden is saying, he would support the legalization of cannabis for medical purposes. But he said that would require FDA approval. Oh, yeah. So the FDA will approve a drug that has absolutely no use, and yet they will shut down drugs that are very effective. You've got to chiropractor being targeted by the FTC, another alphabet agency, the Federal Trade Commission, for selling, wait for it, vitamin D and zinc. These are things that have already been promoted by the NIH itself. And I talked about that. They're trying to put a gag order on him. His lawyer said he took an oath to do no harm. He's doing what he believes is right. He's doing what he believes is moral. And I'm going to tell you, the courage it takes to stand up against this is enormous. For a non-attorney to stand up to these guys the way he is and to say, listen, I've got to stand for what's right for my patients, for my people, is extraordinary. I beg everyone listening to this, please support this guy. And let me give you his name. the doctor who is doing it, I'll grab it here. The story is up on LifeSite News. The doctor's name is Dr. Eric Nepute. N-E-P-U-T-E. Eric Nepute. And again, he was fighting one of these agencies who come after people for these presumed violations of what you are allowed to take into your body. And again, I've said for the longest time, if they tell you that you can't have certain medicines, like medical marijuana, they will eventually tell you what you must have, which is a vaccine. And sometimes they won't tell you. They're already talking about how they can spread vaccines without your informed consent, even without your knowledge. One way that I talked about last week, the way that they've talked about spreading it, is by piggybacking this onto the adenovirus. Again, adenovirus, very contagious. You get pink eye as well as colds from adenoviruses. There's a lot of them. They're relatively harmless from a life-threatening standpoint, but they can piggyback onto these viruses, the genetic code, and that's the way that Johnson & Johnson works. It's the way that AstraZeneca works. And they've already talked years ago, very specific in their study and their animal studies. Back in 2018, they said, well, we can do this, and we can vaccinate the population without them even knowing it. Because we just put the vaccine on a highly contagious virus and it spreads to everybody. They've got another way to do this as well. Inhaled nanobodies. Just have you breathe it in. As reported by RT, they call it a new secret weapon against COVID cases. Yeah, it's a secret weapon. Not against animals, not against COVID, against you. They can drug you with something that you don't even know you've inhaled. And what they're talking about doing, this is University of Pittsburgh, the same people, by the way, that were working with Planned Parenthood, Fauci, and the NIH to acquire baby organs, fresh, not frozen, putting out a bounty. I talked about that over a month ago. University of Pittsburgh, School of Medicine. They should name their hall after Joseph Mengele, the Mengele School of Medicine. They said the first time nanobodies have been tested for inhalation treatment of the coronavirus. Because, see, the coronavirus is so dangerous that we can do anything. We can vaccinate you against your will, against your knowledge even. They said they've got about 8,000 nanobodies, which they whittled down to just one highly effective one that was ultra-potent version. They called it NB21 at the University of Pittsburgh, the Nazi scientists there. They said they bioengineered it to better slot together with the, wait for it, the spike protein. Of course, you would engineer nanobodies that would match up and carry the most deadly aspect of the coronavirus in order to, of course, protect you, right? We're from the government. We're here to protect you. That's been the lie that they've sold for the longest time, and now they're doing it pharmaceutically. Through its early preclinical stages, the treatment is said to show significant promise for providing low-cost therapeutic option to help turn the tide for a global pandemic that doesn't exist in humans, although a timeline for human testing has yet to be announced. Just forget the testing. Just go ahead and do it, you know. Take the Trump approach. We don't need no testing. You do any testing, you delay this thing, you're fired. A vaccine patch could someday be an ouchless option. This is being pushed by NPR. And this is the micro needles option. And we saw this being funded by Bill Gates. Remember that? The micro dot tattoo. It would vaccinate you. It could also be used as a mark of the beast identifier. They're working on a way to inject a vaccine without the ouch. The trick is to make the needles very small, really, really small. So small that they don't interact with the nerve endings that signal pain. Again, this is nanotech. And they said this was possible because they said you don't need something that measures millimeters or centimeters long like a needle. No. You need something that is only just tens of microns in length. And so you can get the needles into your skin, the needles break off, and then they can be time released so that you don't have to come back for follow-up vaccinations. So they can just keep releasing this stuff into your body without your knowledge. Of course, you would know that they'd press it up against your skin. I find it interesting. This type of thing has been used for decades in assassinations. I remember decades ago the story about one of the spies that had left the Soviet Union and was in exile in the UK. And he, as he was dying, they were talking to him about something that happened. He said, yeah, it was really kind of strange. I had this guy following me, and he hit the back of my heel with an umbrella. Shortly after that, I started getting really sick. And they said, they did investigation of that, and they said that, yeah, we're getting that call through. They did an investigation of that, and they said, yeah, it was actually a microscopic release of a toxin that came out as they just bumped that against him. So you do feel something when the microneedles are pressed against your skin. It's as if somebody took some Velcro and pressed it firmly against your skin. There's a little bit of roughness. Some people may describe it as a kind of tingling. So there is a sensation, but it's a sensation that people don't find objectionable or painful, just like the assassinated spy. Now, those tiny needles are frequently made out of water-soluble material. So once it gets in your skin, they dissolve, releasing whatever you have, and they can do it on a timed-released basis. And then finally, this new novel approach to vaccines, reported by LifeSite News, or a Catholic site. They said, look at this. Researchers have now developed vaccine technology in a wafer form that looks just like the Catholic host used at Mass. It's like a communion wafer. Because it's a religion, isn't it? It is a religion. The Fauci cult is a religion. And you had people at the University of Texas, as well as scientists from Minnesota, University of Minnesota, and one from the Mayo Clinic. So three of them. Mayo Clinic, University of Texas, University of Minnesota. They said that the membrane on the underside of the tongue is very good at absorbing drugs. And a lot of times you take a liquid drug, like a liquid vitamin D or something, you will inject that, as they say, sublingually under your tongue. And your body absorbs that very well. The problem, they said, is that it can easily absorb smaller molecules, but larger molecules are not readily absorbed. So they decided they would work on it so that you could orally take your vaccine as a wafer form. And they said if we continue this line of work, it can bring us to the point where we can have vaccines. They could be based on DNA, on RNA, on proteins like the spike protein. They could be stored in the refrigeration, easily delivered under the tongue, sublingually. So, you know, you can go to Pope Fauci and he can give you his Fauci communion wafer. The wafer developed by the team of researchers appears physically to be almost identical to those used at Mass. Not for the salvation of souls, but for the illusory promise of health for the body. As Archbishop Vigano described the COVID-19 measures, he said they're a pseudo-health regime governed by people both inside and out the church who were people corrupt in the soul and sold out to Satan. Who would we be talking about with that? Let me tell you something. You know Fauci, right? You know who Fauci is. You know what he's about. You know what Bill Gates is about, too, don't you? You know who the really dangerous one is? Donald Trump, because you don't recognize him as your enemy. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
you gotta spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum and have faith.
Amen.
A pandemonium liable to walk up on the scene.
Amen.
To illustrate my.
All right, and joining us now is Gerald Celente of Trends Journal, and you can see there on the video feed the excellent cover from Trends Journal. It's a balloon that looks like the Earth, and underneath it it says inflation, because this is a worldwide problem. All of our problems and all of these tactics are worldwide, and so that's this week's cover on Trends Journal. So joining us now is Gerald Celente, and you can find, by the way, Trends Journal, you can find that at trendsresearch.com. You can see a trial copy of that, and it is a massive publication that goes out on a weekly basis. Joining us now is Gerald Celente. Thank you for joining us, Gerald.
And thank you for having me on. And it was great, of course, having you up here at the Memorial Day rally. Everybody loved you, and it was great meeting you and your family. And it was
It was great being up there. Thank you for inviting us. I really do appreciate that. And I played that song specifically for you because those of you who did not see it, and it is up on Gerald's YouTube channel. Four some odd hours of the event, great music, and at one point Gerald got up on stage and sang that accentuate the positive. So it's a fun event.
Yeah. And how about the COVID, I got the COVID blues.
Yeah, that's right, had the COVID blues as well. You accentuated the positive, but you also had the COVID blues, and we've all got a case of the COVID blues, don't we, for the last year. It's a long haul COVID. This thing never ends, does it?
No, it's not going to end either.
No.
It's going to end for a while, and then they're going to ramp it up again in autumn.
Yes.
When it starts getting cold out.
Yes.
And they'll start it again.
Yeah, they'll say variants.
You know, you were talking before about the vaccinations and on and on. This is right out of CNBC. It just came out now. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Gottlieb, rare health inflammation cases shouldn't stop young people from getting COVID shots.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and where's he gone? He's gone to the board of Pfizer. This is the
guy. That's the point I was going to make.
Yeah, yeah. So,
this
of course, you know, if we're going to kill teenagers, don't worry about it.
An arrogant little doctor. You know, say that doctor word. You know, I'm tired of this. Oh, doctor. Hey, how about Frank? How about Paul? Nobody says, oh, Mr. Trends. Mm-hmm. This is all BS for us to make them look up to these people. Oh, great. You're good at doing something in your field. Take it easy. You know, another word, health minister. Yeah, health minister. Like they use that word over there. But anyway, this clown guy who used to be with the FDA is now with Pfizer on the board of directors.
Yeah. Yeah, he was
from
Trump's FDA guy.
From the FDA to Pfizer.
Yeah. Yeah, so he went from being Trump's FDA to going to the board of Pfizer. And Gerald, I was just talking earlier in the program about how the FDA has revealed itself beyond a shadow of a doubt to be a corrupt mouthpiece for the big pharmaceutical industry. We had a panel of 11 people saying this new drug for Alzheimer's doesn't work. You had 10 who said no, one who abstained, and they went ahead and did it anyway. That's the first time they've gone against a unanimous recommendation. Not a single person said this works, but they did it anyway. They've now had 3 of those 11 people resign. The FDA is a fraud. Scott Gottlieb is a fraud.
It's just
a revolving door.
Yep. It's one big club and you ain't in it, as George Carlin said.
Yeah.
And look at the you know, oh, by the way, boys and girls who hated Trump so much, and of course I didn't like him either, but if this happened under the Trump administration, oh boy, would they go after the FDA.
Yeah.
It's okay. And that BS Biden clown, you saw what happened when the numbers came out where the billionaires are paying virtually no taxes at all.
Yeah.
What was the response? Oh, we have to look into how this information was leaked from the...
You're not supposed to know that.
Yeah, that was their response.
Yeah.
This is disgusting. All this little way people on slave land, the IRS busts our chops for the tiniest little thing, but they give the big guys a break. If this again happened under the Trump administration, those little low-life prostitutes out there...
Yep.
Would be, oh, look at this, look at this.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's how they have the left-right march, the Republican, Democrat. They alternate it back and forth because they know they can get away with this under a Republican. They can get away with that under a Democrat. And so they run us back and forth. But, you know, getting back to the Scott Gottlieb thing, it is just the most despicable thing I've ever seen in my life, it that is. They would expose these teens who have zero risk from the virus to a known risk from this. And then coming out, if they get caught red-handed, already they've identified well over 200 of these cases. Yeah, that's for real. They've had 700 of them reported, so they say this is an emergency, but it's only an emergency from a PR standpoint. So they're not even going to have a meeting about it for a week.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and people call them, you know, big pharma. They're not big pharma. They're drug dealers. They're big cartel. They're a drug cartel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
You know, this is disgusting what's going on. And all of this stuff, like, remember how everybody, they told you to wipe down things and doors are opening automatically because if you touch things.
Yeah.
And now the odds are what, 1 in 10,000 that you get it?
Yeah, that's right.
They're making people wear masks. And all over. I mean, I just did it, you know, the whole on the Trends Journal. We did a whole thing going on in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
They're locking down Melbourne, and they had one death in all of Australia in 6 months.
Yeah.
Out of 25 million people, 910 died in 17 months. And now you can't go this far, that far. You could go out, you could do this, and you have to wear what? Your chances of getting it outside are 1% or less.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These are facts.
Yeah, that's right.
But yet people, I see it all over here, people walking around with masks on.
Yes. I saw a lot of that up in Kingston. A lot of people outside wearing masks, even by themselves wearing masks.
That's wearing, no, but yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
So, and this is global, by the way. That's the other important thing to understand.
Yes, very true. Yeah, you know, when you look at what's happening in Melbourne, as ridiculous as that is, Gerald, I reported yesterday that in Guangdong province in China, they have now gone into lockdown because they said they had 157 cases. They didn't say anybody had died. They didn't even say these people were sick. But they had 157 cases. You know how many people are in Guangdong province? 115 million. 115 million and 157 cases. So we got to do this again. And that tells you exactly as I've been saying from the very beginning, if we don't take this power away from them, they're going to turn our society on and off like a light switch constantly. As you just pointed out, it'll be this fall. And I think this fall, they're going to come after us for all kinds of crackdowns for vaccine mandates. They're really going to get hard on those of us who don't get the vaccine come this fall.
They just passed a law in New York State yesterday that if you have a phony vaccine passport, it's a crime.
Hmm.
It's a criminal act.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
and they're pushing this Excel. Isn't that a great word? An Excelsior passport.
Yeah.
Excelsior. And now they're pushing this thing. They're going to look, France, Spain, Greece, Cyprus, a whole bunch of countries. And yeah, you could come. Come on in. Did you get your vaccination?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't get your vax, you can't come in.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and of course the vaccine doesn't work anyway. I mean, they just had the first fully vaccinated cruise, and they found two people while they were on the cruise tested positive with it. Didn't have any symptoms. Nobody's asking about the test. Nobody's asking to see if they're really sick. It's absolutely disgusting, and they keep ramping this up. I've talked throughout before you got on, I talked about all the different things that they're doing to teens, how they're pushing this against teens, how they're even telling kids in elementary school in Canada, you can consent to this. Just like you can consent to changing your gender or all these other things, even though, you know, you can't drink, you can't vote, you can't drive a car because you don't have the maturity, but you can decide that you want to get the experimental vaccine or whatever without your parents' authority. And they're pushing this on kids everywhere. It's just absolutely disgusting to watch this.
I know. And as you pointed out, and as we know, young people, they get this thing, they don't even know it. And the recovery rate is only 99.997%.
That's right. That's right. Well, I think,
so,
Gerald,
of course you want to vaccinate them.
That's right. I think what we're seeing now with the teens, I don't think this heart and vascular issue is something that's limited to teens. I think they've been able to cover it up and ignore it when it happens to older people. They say, well, you got a heart issue. But they can't say that these teens had pre-existing conditions or any health issues. And so when it manifests in the teens, that shows people what is really happening. And a lot of this is going to be a long term. We've always in the past, vaccines have been difficult for people to understand how harmful they are because it typically takes a long time for these things to show up. We're not seeing a long time happening with this, which makes me very, very concerned about the long-term situation. If we're seeing this many things happening immediately, what does that mean about the long-term effects of this?
Oh, there won't be any.
That's right. It'll be a coincidence. Well, let's talk about the long-term financial effects of this in terms of what our government has done under both Trump and now under Biden, and it just continues to grow, and that is inflation, the cover of Trends Journal this last week. Great cover, by the way. Love that cover. I got to meet your artist there. And
Anthony Frieda. Yeah,
Anthony Frieda. He does a great job with these. And that really encapsulates it because it's a worldwide balloon, which is what's going on with inflation.
Yep. And so what's going to happen is that the feds are saying it's only temporary. And the reason they're saying that is because when inflation goes high, they got to raise interest rates. When interest rates go up, this fake economy goes down. End of story. It's zero interest rate policy. And not only in the United States, you got negative interest rates in Europe, negative interest rates in Japan. So when interest rates go up, all that cheap money, the housing market, I mean, you know, getting mortgages, they hit all-time lows recently, popped up a little bit, but still very low. The gangsters on Wall Street, the white shoe boys, are borrowing money for nothing. You're looking at merger and acquisition activity, you know, going through the roof. Look at that BlackRock. I mean, they're buying up everything.
Mm-hmm.
At private equity firm, they're buying up everything. And this stuff didn't exist when we were young guys.
Yeah.
Private equity group, hedge funds, they didn't exist.
Yeah.
Buying up everything. So the bigs are getting bigger with all this cheap money. And the facts are there. We're talking about the billionaires not paying taxes. The billionaires got $8 trillion richer since they launched the COVID war. So going back to inflation, a number of reasons why it's going up. One is demand is going up. There's no question about it. After you lock down and now you're opening up, demand's going to go up. Pushing all this cheap money in there, demand of a product's going to go up. Number two, the supply chain, because it was disrupted from the lockdown. Number three, very important, there has been a sharp decline in development of natural resource production, mines, that kind of thing going on since 2011. It's dropped by about 40%. So now you have demand going up, but you don't have the production facilities to mine it or produce the product. So that's going to keep supply down. You're looking, for example, at lumber prices, as you well know, and you've probably said it a number of times, to build an average home now, it's $36,000. $36,000 more just in lumber.
Yeah.
Forget the copper, which copper prices, by the way, recently hit an all-time high, an all-time high. They came down a tiny bit. So the Fed's saying this is only temporary. Wall Street, it's only temporary. No, it's not.
No.
Okay, it's temporary. Prices have gone up 300%. Oh, they're going to go down. Okay, they go down 150%. They go down 200%. They're still up 150%. And that's what we're going to see more of. So the Fed is saying that it's only temporary because they don't want to freak out Wall Street, because Wall Street is the barometer that makes it appear that everything is just fine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when you talk about the lumber stuff, Gerald, you know, Biden just doubled the tariffs on lumber coming from Canada. They don't want this to go away, do they?
you know, they don't, you know, it's hard to say, you know, it's, they're not that bright. Let's put it on that level, too. I mean, look at the morons that we got running in our lives. Again, you know, it's country after country. I quoted this clown, this acting premier, Merlino over in Melbourne, in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a crisis this is. What are you talking about, a crisis? Nobody's died. The cases, by the way, they keep talking about cases. And as you well know, and your audience knows, these are fake tests.
Yeah, that's right.
But they keep quoting cases.
That's right.
So we got imbeciles, morons, liars, cowards, freaks, and fools running it. And going back to inflation, when they raise interest rates, this thing's going down big. Example, Turkey. 2 weeks ago, Erdogan, the president, fired the third central bankster in 2 months because he wanted to raise interest rates because inflation is going over 15%. He fired him.
Wow. Wow.
He fired him because they know that if they raise interest rates, it costs more to borrow money, and the whole scam goes down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go back. Let's go back to September 11th. No, not 9/11, that one, 2019. September 11th, 2019, we have the quote in this week's Trends Journal. Trump going after Jerome Powell to lower interest rates. This is in 2019.
Yeah.
Because the markets were going down.
That's
and
right.
Powell bent over and lowered them. You go back to September 2019, the Federal Reserve was dumping in hundreds of billions of dollars into the repo markets so the gamblers could get cheap money. This is before the COVID war started.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I remember we talked about that. And I looked at the repo market. I'd never heard of it, but I saw this massive amount of money being dumped in there. It's like, you know, one day they said, yeah, we dumped in this amount of money. And it's like, how does that compare to the size of the gross domestic product of some countries? And that was the amount of the entire annual gross domestic product of Puerto Rico. And then a couple of days later, they dump in, I think it was $20 billion, and that was equivalent to the entire gross domestic product of Switzerland, 20th largest economy in the world. And so the amount of money that they were throwing in the repo market was absolutely insane. Let me ask you what you think about this, Gerald. There's a story that just came out on Zero Hedge said banks are so stuffed with cash that they're telling the companies no more deposits. And the way this whole thing is operating, they're saying, don't put the money in here because we've got these rules. And, you know, if our ratio of cash deposits are too high, then that costs us. So move some of your money over into the money market funds, which, of course, don't really pay any interest in that either. And the way they summed this up, that the Fed came back and said, oh, this is all working exactly the way we wanted it to. So they said in the article, they said, well, just think about this. The Fed dumps $500 trillion down the throats of the bankers. They then tell the corporations, we got too much money in the bank, no more deposits. So they turn to the money market funds. The money market funds say, we can't take it either. And so the Fed is forced to take the $500 trillion back. And then the Fed says, yeah, we expected this from the very beginning. This is the way we designed it.
Yeah. And by the way, you were talking about what they were dumping into the repo markets.
Mm-hmm.
From September to January, they dumped in $7 trillion.
Wow. Wow.
And when the Obama, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, they dumped the Federal Reserve between Bush when he's going out of office throughout to Obama to 2010. They dumped in $29 trillion into the bank systems.
Wow. Wow.
So, and we, the little people, could go broke. We don't count at all.
That's right.
Only right in front of everybody's eyes, only the banksters count. You know, there was this thing called Easter. And this Jesus Christ, a couple of days before Easter Sunday, he makes his own whip and drives the money changers out of the temple.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Yeah, it's the Last Supper and he's up on the cross.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These guys are long-term criminals, aren't they? It's absolutely amazing when you look at this, and as you pointed out, it's supply that they busted. It's demand that they've busted. We've even got, Gerald, the semiconductor companies are saying, well, this shortage that you're seeing in automobiles, we're not going to be able to do anything about that until the end of 2022. You're still going to see this situation. When we drove up to New York for the event, which went on Occupy Peace, one of the things that really stood out to me was how many of these trucks I saw that had, you know, they two layers of, you know, two levels of cars that they're carrying. And they were all used cars. I mean, they're all different brands of cars and obviously pretty old cars, shipping them all over the country because we've got this massive runaway cost in used cars because nobody can get any new cars. There's a Ford dealership just down the street, a couple of blocks from the Ford factory. They typically have about 1,500 cars on their lot, and the Car and Driver reporter said he went by, he said, I thought they were closed. And so he said, I drove in to see what was going on. They had 30 cars on their lot instead of the usual 1,500. And he said he talked to them, and they said, yeah, we can't get anything in anymore from the factory. Drives down to the factory, and they are just overflowing. Cars waiting for semiconductors. I mean, this is the kind of insanity that we've seen ever since this lockdown began, busting the supply chains and messing up demand.
And then you think about it, too. And why do you have all this technology in cars?
Yeah.
It's a waste. It's a total waste.
It is. It is. Yeah, I said, I'll take one of the cars that doesn't have the electronic chips in it.
Yeah.
Don't want all that
stuff. I mean,
it's
ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, the car should be made very simple.
Yeah.
And they got all this electronic crap in there for what?
That's right.
And by the way, you know, as a kid, you know, my father, may he rest in peace, when I turned up the lights inside to see, he said, no, lower those lights. The darker it is inside the car, the better you can see outside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now the cars inside are all lit up.
That's right. That's right.
With this stupid crap you got there that you don't need.
Well, it was just a few years ago, Gerald, that they were telling everybody, do not use your cell phone. We're going to give you tickets. Distracted driving is the big issue and so forth and so on. And now what are they doing? Everybody's putting these big displays all over the dashboard and to distract you, even to the extent that General Motors and other people are saying, well, we'll let you do shopping through this, and we'll tell you what's coming up. You know, we'll serve you ads about the businesses that are going to be that you're going to be driving by in just a few minutes. But it doesn't matter. That's not distracted driving when they do it. It's only distracted driving when you do that, right? It's insane.
I have a 1994 Audi Cabriolet.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I've got
and
an older car, too.
I wish I had rolled down windows, because one of the windows, I got to get one of the windows fixed. The thing won't go down. You know? It was so hard to roll down a window, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that used to be an option. on the trip when we were coming up, the van that we rented had this lane change assist. The most annoying thing I've ever seen in my life. And every time we'd turn the car off and turn it back on, we'd have to disable that thing. What a useless piece of garbage that is.
Yeah.
And some of these things are even worse, because if the lane change assist thing is on there and you try to make a lane change without using your turn signal, it'll counter steer on you. And you might need to be able to do that very quickly. You know, so then you're going to have the thing counter steer on you. It's insane. We don't need
this
stuff.
You know, the Bible says that the meek shall inherit the earth. They got it wrong. They got the M wrong. It's the geeks have inherited the earth.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Did you see the picture of Zuckerberg chucking spears while he's wearing hearing protection like he was shooting a gun? I mean,
yeah.
That's how crazy this whole thing has become. Well, it was a great event. I was really very, very honored to speak at that. And again, people can see that entire event and all the great music. Gerald brought in bands and everything else. A beautiful venue that you've got up there at the Four Corners of Freedom. I really liked the town. It's a very beautiful town. A lot of historic buildings around there.
Yeah. And the people were so wonderful.
Yeah, they were.
Everybody
got to meet a lot of people.
Was so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we were there for a very long time afterwards, and it was unbelievably cold, and I was so stiff when I started to move because I'd just been standing there for a couple of hours. I could barely move. But it was down into the 40s going up there, and I think that was record cold for you guys, right?
Yeah, and look at all the people that turned out even with that weather.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and it wasn't just the cold, but it was the rain that preceded it. So you had a lot of people that came from neighboring states. And it was great to meet a lot of people that I corresponded with had interactions with over email to see them face-to-face. It was really great. I really appreciate you inviting us up there. It was a great trip overall.
So we're going to have a 4th of July festival as well, Freedom Unite for Freedom, Peace, and Justice. And that's, to me, is the only way we could win.
Yes.
And I'm starting a church, as you know, the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice. And if your God believes in freedom, peace, and justice, let's unite. This is a universal church. Because we can't win by going into the political system. It's too corrupt.
Yeah,
but the power of a church can do it. If all the people's religions that believe in freedom, peace, and justice unite. As I mentioned on your show, and you well know, there was a election in Madrid. Isabel Diaz Ayuso, and she was the mayor of Madrid, and she refused to lock down. And then they had a regional election about 3 weeks ago, and she won big time. Her one word of her campaign slogan was freedom. And they're robbing us of our freedom right in front of our eyes.
That's right.
I mean, could you imagine that we're even talking about having to get a vaccine passport, that we're even talking about that?
I know. Yeah. Well, I didn't think people would put up with it. I knew this was going to happen. I was talking about it a year ago. I knew that it was exactly where they were headed because they've been planning for this type of thing. You know, they want to have they want to have geospatial intelligence to measure and to control everywhere that everybody goes. They call it the their social system that they have, the social credit system in China. And everybody, you had the mainstream media saying, oh, it'd be great if we had that to help us manage the disease that's coming around. And so it was pretty clear that was where they were headed from the very beginning. I'm just kind of sitting back and I'm amazed, like Scott Atlas was. He said, I'm surprised at how far they went and how the people let them go that far. You know, you typically, the boiling frog analogy, you think people would stand up and push back against this in greater numbers. That's the thing that I find surprising. The only thing I find surprising is how passive everybody has been. That's why the event that you put on is so important. People have to get out and do that, and they have to stand up to this. And people, if they'll do that, these people will stand down, Gerald. You know that as well as I do.
Yeah. And again, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely true. Well, thank you for coming on. And it's an excellent. People really need to pay attention to inflation. That is the key thing that we're going to be facing from a financial standpoint. But it ultimately, it's about our freedom. But we need to understand right now that what is on its way, the threats to our lives, and we need to start making those adjustments locally. I've got a whole segment here about what employers are doing in terms of pushing this on people and how you can push back. And so we're going to get to that right after the break. But thank you so much for joining us. Gerald Celente, trendsresearch.com. You can find Trends Journal, and it is an excellent book. You can get it like an online magazine. You can find the topics, you can do word searches, you can do the page flipping of it, but it's a great presentation, a ton of material that comes out on a weekly basis, and you can get a sample of Trends Journal at trendsresearch.com. Thank you so much, Cheryl.
Oh, and thank you, for all that you do.
Oh, thank you. All right, we're going to be right back. Stay with us. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com. All right, I said we're going to talk about the employer jabs and the mandates for that. Let's start with a couple of letters that I got from listeners. A couple of them, one of them a flight attendant, another one who works as an EMS and emergency response team. But I'll start with the emergency response team. It says, I've included screenshots of the first official work-related activity. I've been sent to the back of the line because I refused to get jabbed. I am or was on an emergency response team, basically a disaster response team. I've now been informed that priority is being given to the fully vaccinated team members. At the bottom of the employee information page, they sent me a COVID vaccine field where they want to know if I'm vaccinated or not. He says, easy come, easy go. God will provide. And that's what we need to understand. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself into slavery. It may be a difficult time economically, but just ask yourself if the economic hardship that you're going to face while you find a better employer, an employer who respects you as a human being, that displacement that's going to come, is that worth not having a lifetime disability? I mean, would you rather go through that, or would you rather have a situation like that poor woman who spent well over $1 million and still has a permanent disability plus can no longer work and has an over $1 million bill because she took the vaccine? That should be the bigger picture that you've got. He says, P.S., still no evidence of a pandemic and EMS. And he's been talking about that, even talking to fellow EMS workers and saying, have you seen anybody coming in with COVID all last year? It's like, no, I haven't seen any. Do you believe this is a pandemic? Oh, yes, I do. It's like, yeah, don't believe your eyes. Believe CNN and Fox. This from the flight attendant at Delta. He says, with Delta pushing the death jab on new hires, It's yet to be seen if these new hires, lambs to the slaughter, will be able to successfully use the exemptions to get out of it. Those exemptions being medically you can't take the jab or a religious reason. I'm sure Delta will refuse to hire anyone who refuses the jab based on the mentioned exemptions. Delta will just say, well, you're not the correct fit for us, but please try again in the future. All lies. From the airline industry leader in lies. It's getting really bad here at Delta. He goes on to say, I actually had someone from Delta call me the other day because they wanted to discuss the COVID vaccine with me. I stopped her in her tracks real quickly when she asked, are you comfortable talking about the COVID vaccine? I immediately responded, no, I'm not. She started stuttering and then said, oh, okay, well, you have a nice day. I could tell that she was expecting me to gladly volunteer private information to her, which I was not going to do and will not do. She thought I was another brainwashed lemming who believes this crap. What she got, and I could tell she was not expecting, was someone who was thinking critically about this, someone who could think for themselves, which is hated by this corporation, Delta. Delta has proven that they are lying. They claim to follow the CDC guidelines on the fake virus. Well, the CDC now claims if you survive the depopulation jab, then you no longer have to wear the dirty Fauci. How does Delta spend this then? They're not following the CDC guidelines. Well, they say even though the CDC says it's okay for fully jabbed people to not wear a disgusting Fauci, we're going to go by the guidelines from the Mayo Clinic. They can always find somebody who pushes that, right? Maybe we could get the guidelines from Brian Stelter, the whistleblower who was sacked by Facebook after he exposed the censorship. Remember, this is Morgan Kamen. Or Kamen, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, it's K-A-H-M-A-N-N. And he went to Project Veritas, and then he was exposed, and then he went on Tucker Carlson. But what he was exposing within Facebook was the vaccine hesitancy censorship. Anything that would lead to vaccine hesitancy, they would censor, of course, on Facebook. And so when they found out who he was, and you know, Project Veritas did a lot to try to keep him. They didn't show his face. They had him in silhouette. They modified his voice. But, you know, they Facebook knows everything about everybody. They can put this stuff together. And so can the government, by the way. So we don't need to really worry about that stuff. And he said at the time, he said, I might get fired, but I want to expose how they are manipulating people into getting this vaccine. When they fired him, there was a crowdsourcing, there was a fundraiser, fundraiser at GiveSendGo, and he has now raised over $500,000 from 12,000 donors. In other words, about $40 a piece he's gotten from people. He said, there's a silent majority in this country who believe in truth and morality, and they have made themselves heard. He says, do not relinquish your God-given freedoms to these tech tyrants. Stand up for the truth, no matter the cost, no matter the risk. Be brave. Do something. Our world depends on it. He also said, as for companies like Facebook, their days are limited. Let's understand that. As Christians, we understand that, right? Why do the wicked prosper? Well, soon you're going to look for them, and they will be no more. Like grass, they'll wither. Like flowers, they'll fade away. And let me tell you, Facebook ain't no flower. it's a stinkweed that has grown up amongst us. this person says, I live in New York, unfortunately work for a hospital, and this is what they're asking us to do. And I didn't give this to Travis to show as a screenshot, so I'll just I took a screenshot of this sign, so I'll read it to you. Hi, all. Please see the email below from the chief medical officer. The Joint Commission National Patient Safety Goals require that we track our hand hygiene compliance. Now, this is nonsense. You heard Gerald Celente. He says, yeah, they're telling everybody you got to be careful about what you touch. I talked about this at the very beginning. It was in March or April. You had a German scientist go around. They took a family. All four of them were sick. They tested them. They said they tested positive for COVID. So because of that, and it's very early in all of this, a German scientist went in with all of his equipment, and he took samples of all the different surfaces, bathrooms, kitchens. All. He couldn't find COVID anywhere. Couldn't find it anywhere. Now, I know a lot of you will say that's because it doesn't exist. But one way or the other, it doesn't get passed on. It doesn't survive on a surface if it does exist. But now, here we are, over a year later, even after the CDC has come out and said, yeah, you know, all that stuff we told you about having to wash your hands constantly and be careful what you touch and so forth. And, you know, wash your hands for 20 seconds and do it frequently. As they have finally fessed up that none of that needs to be done, now they're escalating the hygiene compliance. And we have to keep records of how many times you wash your hands. So how are they going to do it in this hospital? Well, QR codes have been added to the paper towel dispensers. The expectation is that all staff will complete at least one hand hygiene audit per day. A hand hygiene audit. This is OCD nation. Obsessive compulsive. Not a disorder, but dictates. Obsessive compulsive dictates. You're welcome to complete as many as you want, but this will be monitored and we will report results. So I guess you don't have to wash your hands. You just have to scan the QR code on the paper towel rack. I don't know how that's supposed to work. Goldman Sachs is going to be requiring workers to report if they are vaccinated or not. That's right. So, yeah, they want you to deposit the mRNA into your body. It's not just enough that they get your money. They want to, you know, you give them the money, you put it in their banks, and then they deposit the mRNA. And the last paragraph from Zero Hedge says, no word yet on whether Goldman workers will receive any kind of compensation for getting vaccinated. But seeing as the bank largely skips bonus compensation offered to junior employees by other banks, we suspect that junior bankers who comply with this will be doing so mostly out of the goodness of their hearts and their unwillingness to lose their jobs. Which brings us back again to this. What is the leverage that they have over you? Right? We must not be afraid to leave these structures behind us. I've been talking about this for a long time when it comes to school. They would intimidate parents and say, you're not capable of doing this on your own. You can't educate your kids on your own. They're not going to be socialized. They're not going to have a future. And that's all bunk. They have always been able to do this out of fear and intimidation. And so the same type of fear that we've seen applied to homeschoolers in the past, which we now know is a complete lie, after everybody had to homeschool this last year. Everybody had to homeschool. It didn't matter if you're doing Zoom classes with your government school. You were still homeschooling. And you can, if you're going to do Zoom classes online, you can find better instructors, let me tell you, than the ones that are down at the government local school. And you can have control over the curriculum as well. There's a lot of resources online. If you want to do school online at home, you got a lot better choices out there than the local government school. And so they have ruled you by intimidation, by fear, fear of the unknown. And that's how they're ruling you now through these employer mandates, fear of the unknown. Well, I don't know. If I leave my job because I refuse to take the vaccine, what'll I do? You will find a way. There's a lot of people who don't want this. We just have to figure out how to connect with each other. There's a lot of businesses out there who are desperate to hire employees. They can't get enough people around the clock. Massive shortage of employees. And they would love to have somebody who is a hard worker, conscientious, honest, who is not going to take the vaccine. They'll find a way to make a place. And that's the kind of person you want to work for. You don't want to work for somebody like Goldman Sachs. You don't want to work for somebody that disrespects you. I've done that. Forget working for somebody like that. There's not any amount of money that's worth that kind of loss of your respect, your human respect and dignity. So put a priority on your freedom, on your dignity. And just walk away from these jobs if you have to. Start creating some kind of a structure with people in your neighborhood. There's so many different things that you can do, and you must do that right now because you don't know what's going to happen with you. You want to roll that big roulette wheel and take the vaccine? You may be okay, but then again, you may not. The New York Times is trying to intimidate people. Yes, your employer can require you to be vaccinated. Well, no, they can't. I have a lot of people saying, well, what do I do about this? Well, first of all, you get back in their face and you say, if you require me to get vaccinated as a requirement of my job, first of all, I will sue your pants off, or my relatives will, if something happens. And I have a good place to start because OSHA, before they changed it, before the people at the top changed it, the honest people at OSHA said, yeah, by the way, you know, you can require your people to get vaccinated, but you're going to be liable if they get injured for something that you require as part of the job. Then OSHA comes back and says, no, that's not true. We retract that. It is true. And you can take that to a jury. And you can say, you know, OSHA did say this before the political operatives at the top reversed that. That is a true principle. And so the New York Times is saying, well, you know, they can offer you incentives as long as they're not coercive. And they can't mandate this as long as it is experimental. They do tell you a lot of lies in this article. They say, well, the 1905 Supreme Court case, which they always like to go back to, Jacobson versus Massachusetts, this is what New York Times says. Of course, it's as much of a lie as their 1619 project is. They say, Jacobson versus Massachusetts allowed states to require people to be vaccinated against smallpox. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. You know what happened in that case? The person never got vaccinated. They took it all the way to the Supreme Court because they said, we don't pay the fine. And it was a bad decision from the Supreme Court. It's just because the Supreme Court says one thing or the other doesn't make it true, doesn't make it legal, doesn't make it constitutional. They said, no, you will have to pay the fine. But they didn't say you have to get vaccinated. You don't. You know, stand up for your freedom and dignity. Remember that there may be consequences for that, but there's absolutely no reason to walk away from that. But then they say, once it gets full approval by the FDA, how hard is that going to be? That's one of the reasons why I talked about the FDA today. You had the FDA rush out the emergency use authorization. Why? Because of political pressure from Trump threatening to fire these guys. You've seen them this week because of the money involved, say we are going to approve this drug for Alzheimer's, even though there wasn't a single person on that committee. 10 out of 11 said, no, this doesn't work. One said, I abstain. The FDA said, we're going to approve it anyway. So do you think the FDA will approve these vaccines anyway, even though they're giving young kids heart issues? Even though they're killing people with blood clots? Even though this is happening in an unbelievable magnitude and immediately, like we've never seen before? Of course they will. Of course they will. They say, in theory, says the New York Times, talking about vaccine mandates by employers, in theory, federal law should trump state law. No, not at all. This is another lie from the New York Times. Federal law does not trump state law. States have powers. The federal government has powers. The federal government's powers are the ones that were delegated specifically to it. And those are the only powers that it has, according to the Constitution. Read the 9th and 10th Amendment. If the power was not expressly given to them, they don't have it. That's why there is no authority for the drug war. They weren't given that authority. And everybody understood that when they were paying attention to the Constitution, when they cared what the Constitution said. That's why, again, they passed the Alcohol Prohibition Amendment 18 and then undid it because they don't have the authority. They don't have the authority to weigh in on vaccines or masks. They don't have the authority. As a matter of fact, this is one of the reasons why it was disgusting to me to watch the Republican Party last year roll over and play dead when Trump was giving tens of billions of dollars to the pharmaceutical companies. How is that not something that violates all your conservative principles? And the only one who spoke out against it was Thomas Massie, and Trump came after him. Said, I'm going to get you out of Congress. Well, Trump's gone, and Massie's there. That's the only good thing that happened with the election this last year. We have the sellout to these big corporations, to the pharmaceutical cartels. He's gone. Of course, we got him replaced with another person just as bad. But at least we've got somebody there who says, no, it was wrong. Who said the emperor doesn't have any clothes. And so when we look at this, again, in this article, just as I read you the flight attendant, the thing that they finish up with is Delta Airlines saying they're going to require new hires to be vaccinated, but they will exempt current ones. Well, that's just for now. That's just for now. They said they will give... people who get vaccinated will get 3 days of extra vacation to flight attendants who've received at least their first vaccine dose. So I guess the question is, how many additional sick days do you get? That's what we really should talk about. I've got a lot to say about what is happening with America held hostage, but I don't have the time. We will pick this up. Talk about that. Talk about the inflation and other things I didn't get to, as well as some of your letters. That will be part of the radio broadcast live on KHNC. You can find that 1360KHNC.com. Of course, I also grabbed that later without the commercials and put it up on the podcast. I hope it doesn't confuse people. I'm putting up now both the podcast in the morning and then the radio broadcast after that is two separate posts during the day. I just want to say thank you to all the people who have supported us, who have found other ways to support us after we've been shut down by PayPal and Venmo. And, you know, you can find us on Subscribestar. You can, if your bank supports it, Zelle. A lot of people have found Zelle that used to be PayPal contributors. And there's also Cash App, Bitcoin, and our P.O. Box is there. And we've had a lot of people who have, it seems like most people have moved to the P.O. Box or Zelle. So really do appreciate that. Appreciate the support that you've given us. That's it for the broadcast. Again, 1360KHNC.com is where this will continue at 5 after the hour.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project, to make sure the commoners own nothing, and the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation.
They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.